Happy trails to you until we meet again.
Well, it's your old pal Phil Nee wishing you all the best. We'll put our little records away and bring in some guests for our morning show studios next hour on WRCO-FM in Richland Center, Wisconsin. It is 51 degrees. Our update on the news from ABC is sponsored by Pamela's Fine Jewelry, a full-service jewelry store featuring a wide variety of styles, and the Phoenix Center, family fun at its best. There's always something for everyone, including bowling, legendary pizza, and video games.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. 2 weeks from tomorrow is Election Day, and candidates remain focused on the battleground states. Former President Donald Trump spent most of the weekend in Pennsylvania, says ABC's Perry Russum.
Harris in Georgia this weekend, joined by her pastor, talking about her childhood memories in church.
Do we have leaders in place who understand that in the face of a stranger, one should see a neighbor?
Today, Harris has events in three states with former Republican Congresswoman Liz Cheney. Trump heads to North Carolina to survey hurricane damage in Asheville.
An investigation's underway into the leak of apparent American intelligence documents that purported to show potential Israeli military plans. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin is visiting Ukraine for the third time since the war began, and the autopsy results on One Direction singer Liam Payne found he had ingested numerous drugs before he fell to his death from a hotel in Argentina last week. This is ABC News. Jury selection begins today in New York City in the trial of a Marine veteran facing manslaughter charges.
Last year, 25-year-old Daniel Penny put Jordan Neely, a Subway performer with a history of mental illness, in a chokehold after he claimed Neely began acting erratically, threatening to kill people in the New York City subway.
The three main threats that he repeated over and over was, "I'm going to kill you, I'm prepared to go to jail for life, and I'm willing to die."
Prosecutors say Neely was not armed and did not pose a threat. Jury selection begins today. The trial is expected to last 4 to 6 weeks.
It's ABC's Rihanna and Ali. More problems for the company that was known as Redbox. The movie rental company is shut down, but it turns out the thousands of kiosks that used to serve up movies could be a security mess. According to Gizmodo, a programmer says she was able to crack the security in one of the machines and was able to see things like customer names and some credit card information. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Good morning. This is Pamela at Pamela's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Spring Green. As the fauna colors change to vibrant fall colors, it's a great time to add a stunning, colorful opal gemstone of jewelry to your jewelry box. Stop by Pamela's and check out our opals, or stop by the Opal Man's and compare what their opals are. In Spring Green, you have so many opal choices. From Pamela's in beautiful downtown Spring Green.
The old saying goes, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Sure applies to the Phoenix Center. The Bowling Alley has been the go-to for good times and great food for generations in Richland County. It's where good friends become better friends and good times become awesome memories. From a delicious pizza to bowling to a conversation over your favorite drink, the Phoenix Center in Richland Center is the right choice every time. The Phoenix Center. Call 649-7469.
Today's WRCO Hometown Weather Watch is brought to you by Schultz Mortgage Team. Call 608-738-8765. Buying a house is easier than you think with less than 20% down.
Today's high in the low 80s, continued much warmer than normal. Tonight, some clouds, a low of 52. Tuesday, 73, with a few morning sprinkles possible. For Wednesday, 56 degrees. Northwest winds are around 2 miles per hour. Currently in Richland Center, it is 51.
Questions you might hear a lot this fall. Can the Packers make the playoffs? How much snow are we getting this winter? And whatever happened to Tammy Baldwin? After 25 years in D.C., Baldwin sides with the extreme left. Baldwin voted to give nearly $1 billion in COVID relief money to criminals in prison, even the Boston Marathon bomber. That's nuts. And she supports forcing women's domestic violence shelters to admit biological men who claim to be women. Baldwin even backed puberty blockers and sex change surgeries for minor children in Wisconsin. So here's one more question. Now that Baldwin's gone so far left, why should we keep her in the Senate? It's time to replace Tammy Baldwin. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
Cardinal Rotar is hiring experienced machine operators who want a better work-life balance. They offer a three-day work week with no weekends, giving you more free time and flexibility. If you're tired of the typical five-day schedule, this is your chance. Call 608-588-9880 or stop by their location at 1277 East Hoxie Street in Spring Green to fill out an application in person. Cardinal Rotar is excited to welcome you to their team. Call 608-588-9880 today.
Hi, I'm Kim. My family are all U.S. Cellular customers, so when they asked me to tell you that their special customer event, Us Days, is back, my mom was so excited. So, Us Days, exclusive offers just for us customers, like $1,200 off any phone plus $400 off any tablet. Hey, Mom. I know, right? Such a great deal. Us Days at U.S. Cellular is back with exclusive offers just for us. Right now, get $1,200 off any phone plus $400 off any tablet. Terms apply. Visit uscellular.com for details. Act of portrayal.
For generations, the Cairns family has been rooted in Richland County as small business owners. At Julie Cairns State Farm, you will find a local, dedicated team that leads with honest intentions to properly protect you. Yes, saving money is important, yet so is doing business with local professionals that will be there when you need them. We're here to participate in your lives, in our community's growth, and in helping create opportunities to make positive changes. Yes, you can save money, and yes, we will offer you remarkable service. Yet most importantly, our core values will make you proud to do business with us. Like a good neighbor, Julie Cairns State Farm is there.
Welcome to our morning show here on WRCO Radio. This week we will have lots of great guests, lots of varied topics as well, including members of the Richland Hospital staff here a little bit later on. We'll have a special show concerning the Wisconsin State Riverway Board and some very esteemed guests coming up on Wednesday. And also a little bit later on this week, we'll talk about some exciting new news for Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination, those and many other topics coming up this week during the morning show. On today's edition, though, three-term Representative Tony Kurtz, a Republican from Waniwok, who is going to be facing Democrat Julia Henley of Blue River in the newly drawn Assembly District 41. That includes a lot of our listening area, Richland Center, Reedsburg, and the Wisconsin Dells area. On today's morning show, we'll feature the comments from both candidates. In fact, we have flipped a coin, and Julia Henley will go first, Tony Kurtz second. They were in the studio earlier to record comments, and we'll present those to you next here on The Morning Show.
The smarter way to clean your floors, it's time to make the swap, Swiffer Power Mop.
Introducing the new Swiffer Power Mop, the all-in-one tool that gives you a mop and bucket clean in half the time. The solution's built right in, so no heavy bucket, and the pad has hundreds of scrubbing strips to get deep into grout. Don't mop harder, mop smarter.
Swiffer Power Mop, Swiffer Power Mop.
On our morning show today from WRCO, in the studio with us is Julia Henley, who is running for the 41st Assembly seat, and in our morning show studios today to talk about the November 5th election. So, good morning to you, Julia.
Good morning. It's great to be here. Thank you.
Good to have you in here to educate people on you and your background. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and where you grew up?
I grew up in Michigan. Big water girl, and about 30 years ago, just under 30 years ago, I moved to the La Crosse area and got very involved in local initiatives to improve Main Street and that sort of thing. So it was my first effort at volunteering, and I've been a volunteer leader for a number of different projects throughout the Driftless region, primarily. First one was Clearwater Farm up in Onalaska. That's been around for 25 years now, served thousands of people. I was a co-founder of that and president for about 6 years. Moved on into Centering on Alaska, which is a Main Street program. And then I got tapped to work on disaster recovery in Gays Mills, flood recovery. And that brought me down even further into this area and then into Richland County. From there, co-founded Sustainable Driftless. We produced the documentary Decoding the Driftless, and also River to Valley Initiatives, which deals with affordable housing and adaptive reuse. My business has always been in design. I've been very involved in the construction industry for a long time, and I just love the area.
So you're well-versed in the Driftless area, it sounds like.
Very much so, very much so. The challenges, the opportunities, the incredible beauty and environment that I believe very strongly we need to protect and enhance, and it's the basis of our economy, whether it's agriculture or tourism or just quality of life and attracting people to want to live here and grow with us.
Why did you want to throw your hat in the ring, so to speak, in these crazy times?
These crazy times, yes. It became known to me a few weeks before the deadline to register to run that not only do we have these new districts that are much more fair, we also had a need for a second candidate. And so I inquired, and I got a lot of support to run and encouragement, and here I am.
Did you ever think you'd be doing it?
Never.
No.
I never thought I would want to be into quote-unquote politics, but I don't look at it that way. I look at it more from my designer background, which is approaching a situation or a project, and it's like, how can we work together and make it better? And so I guess that's basically the theme of my campaign, is I believe very strongly we can do better, and we can do better as we balance our legislature. And it hasn't been balanced for quite a long time. So I hope the voters will look into what I'm all about and vote for me on November 5th.
Certainly a lot of issues. I think education is one of them. That's kind of tops on your list, isn't it?
It is top on my list, because if we are starving our educational system, which we are, and we're seeing the results of that now with closings, and 50% of our school districts are going to referendum November 5th. That's not that is an indicator we are not doing this correctly. And I'm not talking about raising taxes. I'm talking about wise investment into our people. Because if we have an educated young children that feel excited about learning throughout life, and we have adults that want to change, they have the opportunity to get a really good education. And Wisconsin used to be known for that, and we are sliding down the ranks.
Public funding, you know, funding per pupil, that's a big issue right now with the district administrators I talk to, and I'm sure you're well aware of that as well.
I am. I need to be even more well aware. I mean, there's so many details and nuances that I think the average person cannot possibly pay attention to as we're so busy. But it is critical. It is really affecting our kids, how we make sure that there's enough money. It hasn't been dealt with for quite a long time. I mean, the state funding, I think it was last adjusted in the 90s, for heaven's sakes. And there's been so many changes since then. I mean, just even inflation is one thing, but let's talk about adjusting for that. Let's talk about hiring the best and the brightest for our kids. There's aging infrastructure. There's so many things that need to be dealt with our school systems. And it's not the right thing to do isn't just, well, we're just going to close the school. We're just not going to pay people enough. I mean, we've got to get our kids excited and motivated about school. And our graduations, going into our into skills training, going into 4-year and more education, that only benefits Wisconsin as a whole and every small business. That's what we need.
What about healthcare? That's another biggie, isn't it?
Oh my goodness, yes, healthcare. I think it's kind of unbelievable to me that we've left billions of dollars on the table year after year, and not expanded Medicaid. That is vitally important for our rural people. We've got vets, we've got young families, we've got older people that need health care. And when we starve that situation, hospitals close. We can't attract the right doctors, and then more hospitals close. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy, and there's no need to do that. It doesn't affect, we've already paid those taxes. Why aren't we bringing that money back in?
When you're out and about in the public, what is the most common thing and concern you hear from people?
Oh, the thing that I'm hearing is education is just a huge one, and the real concern for communities and for schools. I have heard a few people, you know, just really, really concerned about the cost of everything, and yet that can't be blamed on one little thing. It's a complex thing. It's a supply chain issue. There's some corporate greed out there, and we got to do something about it. It's just ridiculous. This inequity is just growing at such a rapid rate, and that doesn't mean that, you know, if you've got millions in assets that I'm, you know, advocating that should, we're coming for your money. It happens. No, we're talking about gigantic corporations with gigantic profits that really took advantage of us after COVID.
Another issue I know that you're running for is ensuring women's right to choose.
Yes, I think that it is a woman's right to run her own life and her own body, and I believe that there's been this so much misinformation about what abortion is, and this whole idea that after the 24-week period when a fetus can become viable, that child would be aborted. It doesn't happen. Late-term abortions have to do with health care. And to take that away from the possibility for your daughter or your niece or whatever, and they're struggling and they may die, and we don't have the doctors here in Wisconsin to deal with that, that's crazy. And can't do that. So, yes, I believe that that's an individual right. It's a freedom, and I don't see why we're taking those freedoms away from women to be healthy.
I know that land and water are big issues for you. What are some things you're thinking about there, Julia?
I think that the bad actors that are polluting need to be dealt with. I think we need to enforce the laws that we have. And I feel that it's one thing to have a law on the books or vote for something and say, oh, yeah, I care about water. But it's another thing entirely to enforce the rules and make the polluters clean up their own mess, not socialize the costs of their mess. So I think that's really important. And even just the funding for the DNR, my goodness, why aren't we having those people out there for us, looking out after us instead of, again, starving another agency? I think government can do good things for us and do good things for us in conjunction with robust capitalism. But there are certain things that we as a society need to work together on.
We have a huge agricultural area here, yes, in southwest Wisconsin, in the Driftless as well, Julia. I know you're well aware of that, but what are some things that you bring to the table in terms of ways to help agriculture and the farmers?
I founded Clearwater Farm in 2001, and it was about getting kids and families connected and understanding the importance of our farming and where food comes from, and what is the idea of healthy food. And it's a multi-billion dollar industry in this district alone. Farming is huge in Wisconsin. My understanding at this point is that the huge loss of dairy farms that we've experienced and family farms over the last 20 years is slowing down a bit. And yet these smaller farms need assistance. You know, I would hope the federal government can do what they need to do for agriculture locally. I think that working with farmers is very central to everything. But that comes back down to just the basic, what is the best way to do things? And a lot of people don't like CAFOs. It's a very efficient way of growing product. but enforcement of doing the right thing and educating small farmers is kind of a Wisconsin Extension type of activity to educate the small farmer so that the small farmer can do well. And that comes down into cooperatives. It's a complex area, but I am totally behind and would do everything I can to help our agriculture.
What about working across the aisle? You know, that's another big thing. You know, we think, why can't everybody just get along, you know?
And well, I think I bring to this idea of collaborative thinking goes back to my entire career, which is you show up on a job site, you don't care what anybody's politics is. You have a problem. You have a challenge. You engage everybody to get behind the idea of how to fix that, and you go for it. And that means collaboration and respect and just really bringing the facts to the situation and using creativity to work around obstacles. I consider that kind of my own little motto is just water flowing around the boulders. And there's a way that we can get to where we want to get to if we work together.
I appreciate the fact that you're talking about what you want to do, you know, what you intend to do and things like that, instead of, you know, bashing or talking about somebody else or your opponent or anything like that. So
I don't think bashing is productive. And yet, I do feel that we can do better. So there's that. And I just feel that the imbalance in our legislature is proven. And this is in all things. Imbalance doesn't work. And imbalance and trying to just consolidate power or kind of find an agenda and satisfy it, that is not the right way to do things. We need to just, what is the purpose of government? What is the purpose of, how do people get along? And how can we work together to actually do real work for the people? That's what I feel is important.
First and foremost, you want people to come out and vote on November 5th.
I do. And I, even beforehand, vote whenever, however you can. That would be wonderful. That would be really, really wonderful. I'm hoping that we have just a huge turnout, because I think that is going to be just really important for a mandate to do the work that we need to do.
Very important to get the word out for younger voters, too, you know. No matter what side you're on, you want the young people to come out, right?
I want the young people to come out. I'm doing everything I can to reach young people. And I think young people in general are just tired and, you know, maybe a little sad about the way the world is going. And I just want them to know that there's so much hope and possibility ahead of us. And don't give up. And we can do good things. We can make change. Government can work. And yeah, so young people are integral to making this all come together well for the future.
Anything else you'd like to add, Julia?
If you don't know where you're voting, because it's gotten confusing, mm-hmm. go to myvote.wi.gov and just enter in your address and you'll know where you can vote. And you'll know if you can vote. So that's a really wonderful site. I hope people will come to my own site, which is juliahenley.com. And if you just want to email me directly and you want to meet or you want to set up a group to meet and just talk about issues, I would love that. And that's just julia@juliahenley.com. You can follow me on Facebook. And I am so glad to be here. And thank you so much. It's been really exciting and fun to be here.
Yeah, good to have you. And people are probably confused again with the districts. What area is the 41st,
okay,
and where does
all
that cover?
All of Richland. Uh-huh. All of Richland County, a good part of Sauk, more towards the west side, up through Richland Center, Reedsburg. These are the main ones, the biggest population areas. Wisconsin Dells, Lake Delton, a little bit of Columbia County, a little bit of Adams County, and the lower part of Juneau County. All part of the Driftless region. An amazing place. As I drive around, I'm just more impressed every day. It's just so incredible. And that's the district. And you can look that up, too. If you go to my website, you can see the maps, and that would be a real easy thing to do.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in today and telling us about yourself. We appreciate that. So, Julia Henley for Assembly in the 41st District on today's morning show.
Cardinal Rotar is hiring experienced machine operators who want a better work-life balance. They offer a 3-day work week with no weekends, giving you more free time and flexibility. If you're tired of the typical 5-day schedule, this is your chance. Call 608-588-9880 or stop by their location at 1277 East Hoxie Street in Spring Green to fill out an application in person. Cardinal Rotar is excited to welcome you to their team. Call 608-588-9880 today.
It's good to look into the windows you'll be looking out. The perfect place to look into new windows is PMI Windows of Lone Rock. PMI offers premium vinyl windows custom made to order with the latest advancements in glass and hardware technologies, fusion welded frames and sashes, and the industry's best lifetime no-nonsense transferable warranty. Windows are not all created equal. Let PMI custom tailor premium vinyl windows just for you. Call 583-7200 for a free estimate.
Tony Kurtz in the studio to talk about the upcoming election. Tony, boy, it's getting down there, isn't it?
It is, Phil, and thank you for having me. I think this is very nice that your station has, you know, both candidates on. I think that's very very generous, so thank you for doing that.
Yeah, no problem. So you're running again. How many times is this for you?
So currently we're in the 50th Assembly District, and right. So I've had the honor to serve for, this is my third term, so I'll be ending my third term. And then obviously with the maps, we've talked a lot about the maps and the redistricting. Our district will change to the 41st, and so, you know, we are both running for the 41st Assembly District. And so it's been an honor to serve. I think I've been true to my word to try to help rural areas as much as they can, and I'll continue to do that.
I know that you know the area real well. You've represented quite a bit of the area before, but you have all of Richland County now, right?
Yeah, just a little shift. You know, before I had all of Juneau County, and parts of Sauk like Reedsburg, and then I only had Richland Center, the city, of course, and just some of the townships north. But now, to your point, I'll lose all of Juneau County with the exception of the 5 townships to the south, and then all of Richland County, which I'm excited about. And then I actually go over to the Wisconsin Dells, Lake Delton area. That's also a new area. Actually, I was there yesterday knocking on doors. So, yeah, it's a little different area, but, I mean, I think I have pretty good what I found yesterday in the Dells. You know, people knew kind of who I was because it's right on the edge, and I think it's going to be similar here in Richland County. I mean, they may not have seen my face, but maybe they've heard me on the radio or things like that.
When you're knocking on doors, what's the biggest thing you hear, the biggest concerns from possible voters?
It's all over the board. I mean, you know, yesterday there were some issues with, obviously, property taxes. That was seemed to be a theme yesterday. The Dells area, Delton area, they had a big reassessment of values, and of course that was sticker shock to a lot of folks. Obviously just the inflationary pressures. One, I was in a very nice little neighborhood yesterday in Lake Delton, and security came up. I mean, it was a very nice mobile home park and a lot of older residents, and they were very, one of the first things they said, I said, do you like this neighborhood? Two of them said it's safe, it's secure. So I could tell that that's important to them. And it was. I mean, I was walking the streets, and next thing I know, this pickup truck shows up, and it was a maintenance guy from the area. And kind of say, what are you doing? And I told him. He said, oh, okay, that's kind of neat. And I said, well, you're checking, aren't you? And he goes, yeah. And I said, that's pretty cool. So just the whole gamut. I mean, obviously, we hear a lot about the inflationary pressures. That seems that we hear some on the border. We've heard something, obviously, about K-12 education. You know, all voters are it's interesting because, you know, sometimes it's more of the national issues that's driving the conversation. And obviously yesterday it was more of the state issues, like the property tax. You know, what can we do to help, especially our senior citizens? So those are some of the issues that I've been hearing at the door. So
do you hear much about the top of your ticket? The Republican Party? Or
oh, no, I do. I mean, I was at an event last night in Wisconsin Dells, and that topic came up. You know, what are your thoughts about the two candidates? And I share those. It's interesting. I mean, I am not going to sit here and say that I'm overly excited about, you know, both. I just wish we would focus on the issues. And I think that's kind of been my mantra over the years. Let's focus on the issues. How do we make our area better? How do we get our area to succeed, and I think we all want that.
Indeed. So how do we go about that, Tony, in your eyes here in the next few years?
You know, I think you're going to continue to see, obviously over the last three budgets, we've what I will call slow and steady. You know, we've done some very good budgets, and you have to understand, I came in 2018 with Governor Evers, so all I know is split government. And I have said this before, I've said this on the air with you, split government is not necessarily a bad thing. I think we stop some of the things that could occur on obviously the far left, which I don't think are good. And to be fair, there's some things on my side of the aisle, the Republican Party, where some things on the far right are not good either. And so I think it is a balancing act. I know, unfortunately, we've talked about this, so everybody thinks that we aren't getting along, that things aren't getting done. That's actually furthest from the truth. There's things we don't agree on, that's true, but there's a lot of things that we do agree on, and I'll go back to the state budget. You know, we've had split government, but over the last three budgets, we had the governor, yeah, and to be fair, he's done some partial vetoes, but he has signed that budget, and those budgets I'm very proud of. We've done historical investments in roads, bridges, broadband. You're going to continue to see that, and we've talked about there is a huge need for infrastructure spending, and I think you're going to continue to see that moving forward. And just investing in our priorities, you know, I do think Wisconsin is a high tax state. I think most people are seeing that. One of the things that disappointed me last session, and we did talk this before, is the governor did veto that the tax cut for our senior citizens over 65, and basically what that would have done is exempt retirement income for many of those over the age of 65. He vetoed that. I personally have already told my colleagues, I want that's one of the first things I want to try to introduce next session, because I think that was a mistake, particularly with what I find with our senior citizens on a fixed income. These inflationary pressures, I know they're taming down a little bit, but not, they've really felt the brunt of this. And I think if we could somehow give them some tax exemption from their retirement income, I think it was roughly like $1,500 a year back into their pocket. I think that's something we need to try again, and hopefully the governor will have a change of mind, because I think he's probably hearing it as well.
You've heard a lot about education. Yep. I've had several administrators in here in the studio, and facing some operating referenda and things like that. And how do you look at that in the future, Tony?
Well, one thing I want to talk about is a lot of people don't understand. So Governor Thompson, you know, many years ago, worked with a Democrat legislature and had the gold standard, what I will call two-thirds funding. Well, the last two budgets, we actually have been at two-thirds funding for K-12 education. So when you look at the state budget, you know, roughly it's a $90 billion two-year budget. $19.5 billion actually goes toward K-12 education. It is the largest general purpose revenue expense that the state has. And this last budget, it was $325 per student per year is what all school districts got. Now, to be fair, the budget before, we did not do an increase, and the reason why is, if people can remember, all the school districts got a lot of federal money, and the thought was we wanted them to use that federal money first, and they did. Last budget with a $325 per student per year, that is a catch-up, and I think over the next couple budgets, that will catch up for the needs of the school districts. Now, one thing I want people to understand is we run a two-year budget in the state, and each year it's $325 per student and then $325 for the second year, but it builds upon that. So over a two-year budget cycle, it's actually $975 per student over the two-year budget cycle, because it builds into the base. That $325 the first year, and then the $325 the second year. But remember, that first year, it builds upon it. We know that's what the thing. It builds into the base moving forward. And so when we do our state budget, everybody is talking about the $3 billion surplus we have right now. And that's great. But you also have to take into account, we have to worry about cost to continue. And so the $325 per year, you know, the governor, that was one of his partial vetoes. That $325 per year actually, I will say, it's kind of in perpetuity, because he partially vetoed it to include it for 400 years. Now, that case is in front of the Supreme Court right now, and we'll see how that plays out. But next budget, every school district in the state is going to get $325 first year, $325 the second year, and once again, that builds into the base. So I understand their concerns and the pressures they're feeling right now. I believe we've given them the tools to do what they're doing, actually take it to referendum, okay? Because we, as a state, we're at two-thirds. If they want to go above and beyond that, which they have every right to do that, then take it to those voters and say, okay, this is what we need, and this is why we need it. And then voters, as they are going to choose in November, you know, do we want to do this or we don't want to do that?
You're a farmer. Lots of issues facing the ag community too, Tony.
Yeah, the ag community is it's in real bad shape. I can't understate that enough. Between the commodity prices, between milk prices, you know, I was talking to some dairy farmers the other day over in Reedsburg, and just for a lot of our dairy farmers, the only thing that's kind of keeping them up is kind of the price of call cows and other cows. You know, it's just cattle prices are incredibly high. Grain guys, same thing. You know, the prices are not good. And it looks like we're going to have probably a very good, even though some of our fields don't look it that way, right now, preliminary, it looks like we're going to have a good corn crop and a good soybean crop nationwide, which obviously puts pressure on the, we are having some phenomenal weather right now. I mean, I know I've talked, I mean, my corn and my fields, I can't believe how dry. I talked to a guy yesterday that was going to try to do some high moisture corn, went out and tested it. It was already at 19%. So I think moving forward as a state budget, we have done some things for ag. I'm open to a lot of ideas to see what we can do at a state level to try to help with some of that. But a lot of those programs are at the federal level.
Why are you running? Why do you continue doing this, Tony?
Well, one, I do enjoy what I do. It is an honor to serve. I try to represent myself in a way that I try to listen to all angles. Sometimes I drive my wife nuts because I do look at both sides of an issue. And there's more work to be done. Like I said, you know, we have done a lot of investments in key things, but there's more to do. I mean, that last session, I was very proud that we did get the shared revenue across the finish line. I mean, that was it hasn't been done for over several decades. And I'm excited that now these municipalities, one, they got their increased shared revenue, but also they're going to be tied to the growth of sales tax. I was getting a text message from one of a county board member in Juneau County last night, and she said, boy, hey, we're getting an increase too. So that's is going to work through. So those are the type of things I want to continue to build on. I mean, you talked about K-12 education. I am all willing to sit down and look at, you know, other options for that, particularly, you know, the big thing, obviously you got all the referendums. The big thing right now is special education. That is a huge expense for our school districts, and it has increased tremendously over the last several decades about the need for special education. And just, you know, and our teachers, let's be honest, they are given so much on their plate. You know, years ago when I went to school, they were this teaching, but now there's so much more. I mean, they're teacher, their counselor, their mental health provider. I am more than willing to look at what we're going to do with special education. But once again, you know, we're in split government, and you know, there's things like I just mentioned to you earlier about I would love to see that, you know, tax exemption for retirees over the age of 65. Well, the governor probably wants more for special education. Well, let's work together and figure out, you want this, we want that. I'm willing to sit down at a table and come up with some ideas to get that done. And so that's why I'm still running, because there's still some work to do, and I'm still excited about figuring out a way to get those things done.
One of the key things, I know you'd like to encourage people just to get out and vote, right?
Yeah, you know, regardless, obviously, Republican, Democrat, Independent, you know, this is your chance to exercise your right to vote. And I know a lot of people say, well, it doesn't matter. On the contrary, I mean, this election, regardless which way, it's going to be decided by, I mean, some experts say it could be, especially if you look at the last four. I mean, the last several. I mean, it's been decided by 20,000, 30,000 votes. So, you know, a vote here, a vote there actually does matter. And it's also down ballot. I mean, there was a Senate race, state Senate race over in La Crosse a couple of years ago. A very good friend of mine, Dan Kopanky, you know, he lost by 60 votes in a, you know, in a over 100 180,000 votes were cast, he lost by 60. So, well, and Brad Paff won by 60. So my point is, you look at both sides, that one vote does matter. And we have an opportunity. My wife and I are both going to do our absentee ballot. I've already requested it. So that's the thing. Don't feel we have every opportunity to vote early. And we as Republicans, you know, for years we want to vote on the day, and I respect that. But now you never know what could happen. It could be weather. You could fall ill. Take that opportunity to get out and vote and take an opportunity to do the, you know, absentee ballot. And I do want to give a shout out to our clerks. I've talked to a couple clerks that they've been yelled at already. They've been scolded. You know, our clerks are working incredibly hard. You know, they're just selfless servants. So just, you know, our clerks are just the messengers. I mean, they're just following the law. So just, you know, give them a little break, please.
Anything else you'd like to add, Tony?
No, just once again, it's been an honor to serve. I'm still have work to do for our area, and I think you know, we did deliver on some things last session, especially for this area, and we got more work to do, and I'm ready for it.
Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks, Phil. Appreciate it.
Tony Kurtz, who's running for 41st Assembly District here in the WRCO listening area.
This is Lynette at the Prescription Center. I am back to talk to you about the new Medicare Part D plans. It is time to review your plan for next year. There have been many changes. Most plans have a beginning deductible. Many also require mail order. Once again, we will help you select a plan which will save you money and allow you to continue to fill your prescription locally. It also may be beneficial to add senior care to your plan. As always, we will guide you through this process at no cost, even if you are not a regular visitor to our store. Stop by and we will find the best option for you. We also have the ability to have all your prescriptions filled on the same day, although I must admit we enjoy seeing our friends more often. We also provide monthly medication management, and as with everything else we do, there is no cost to you. We are an approved provider for Medicare. You are able to obtain your supplies locally at no cost and not depend on mail order. The Richland Family Prescription Center, where you and your family always come first.
My name is Arlene Meyer. I am with Senior Voters for CARE Wisconsin. I have farmed, driven a school bus, served on the county board, and raised four sons. Now, I am a resident at Pinecrest, the nursing home owned by Lincoln County. I believe in free and fair elections. It is the right of every American to vote, and I encourage everyone to exercise it. This November 5th, I'm casting my vote for Senator Tammy Baldwin. Living in a nursing home, I understand the skill, the commitment, and the compassion that is required to provide high-quality care. Senator Baldwin understands this too. That's why she's working to raise wages for care workers across the state, including in small towns like mine. Vote for Senator Tammy Baldwin on November 5th.
Paid for by Movement Strategy Center Action Fund, which is responsible for the content of this advertising. MSCActionFund.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Hear that? That's the sound of a Wisconsin factory creating good Wisconsin jobs. But now listen to what it sounds like when you add Joan Ballway.
Everything shuts down. Because instead of helping create jobs in Wisconsin, she's invested thousands of dollars in Chinese companies, helping them create jobs in China, even though Wisconsin has lost 90,000 manufacturing jobs to, you guessed it, China. And it doesn't stop there. During COVID and all the restrictions, Ballwig took $500,000 in taxpayer-funded loans for her own business and never paid it back, but voted against assistance to help other Wisconsin companies grow and create jobs right here.
So, if you want to hear more of this in China, vote for Joan Ballway. But if you want good jobs here in Wisconsin, there's a better choice. Vote Sarah Kieske for State Senate.
Paid for by Kieske for Wisconsin.
We all know what the 4-H pledge is. I pledge my head to clearer thinking, my heart to greater loyalty, my hands to larger service, and my health to better living. For my club, my community, my country, and my world. Big city folks might not get it, but Western Wisconsin does. I'm Rebecca Cook, and I grew up on a dairy farm that's been here for generations. I'm a proud 4-H alumni, and I'm running for Congress. Farms like my family's have been under siege for decades. Big Ag has driven so many of us out of business. And what's Congress done? Nothing. Derek Van Orden has gone Washington. He yells at workers, talks down to people, and acts like he's better than us. He's in Congress to serve himself, not Wisconsin. I'm running for Congress to serve you. I'll stand up to Democrats to fight for a secure border, support police, and stop the wasteful spending. I'm Rebecca Cook, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message because values of 4-H beat the values of Washington any day of the week. Paid for by Cook for Congress.
On today's morning show, Michelle Reinen is our guest as we talk from DadCap's perspective about some consumer protection topics for this month. How you doing, Michelle?
I'm doing great. I can't believe we're already to October, but October is an exciting month for consumer protection.
Well, it is, and we begin with Cybersecurity Awareness Month, and so these are some topical things. How are you looking at it, or what are some things that we should be aware of this month?
Yeah, this is a month where we try and promote 4 cybersecurity practices that consumers can add to their everyday routines. I know when we talk every month, there is always a component of cybersecurity we want people to be cautious with, but this is one month just to concentrate on that because everyone benefits from improved online and device security, both for personal and organizational use. And technology is always improving and changing, which means our security measures have to constantly adapt as well. And so we take this time to just talk through some tips and try and get people to put some new behaviors in place or at least improve existing behaviors.
So I know that a lot of times things come up where maybe we've been hacked and things like that. Are there some steps that we can take to avoid those days?
Yeah, exactly. So cybersecurity this month, the 4 concentrated areas are update your software regularly to fix security risks. And updates make improvements and resolve bugs. We see that when they're issued, but they also patch holes in security systems that can be exploited by those bad actors or hackers. And that's what you're talking about, where some of those breaches come from. And so we want to be sure that people are fixing those security issues as soon as they are rolled out, if possible. So you can either establish a habit of checking for updates and do them right away, or set the notification feature on your device to learn when updates are available.
So a password, a good password for me is probably not 1234 exclamation point. I mean, it's got to be a little stronger than that, right?
Please. And please don't use that same one on everything. Create different strong passwords for each account. Reusing a single password can put all your accounts at risk. And strong passwords are also the key, as you just mentioned. Consider using a passphrase or a password manager program. And a passphrase is just long and unique to you. It's easy for you to remember, but hard for others to guess. And it adds a few numbers or special characters to add complexity. So an example is you could replace an E with a 3 or add a question mark between words, an exclamation point at the beginning and end, or an asterisk in there. But there's lots of ways to create that passphrase that will be unique to you. And be sure, different password each account.
So what do we do from there, Michelle, as far as remembering them? Write them down somewhere? Is that safe too?
Well, that's where you may want to use a password manager program. But no, we don't want you to write them down somewhere, you know, that's going to be easily accessible by others. So if you do write them down, you have to keep that piece of paper secure and not travel with it. But a password manager is going to help you remember, and it's a place to store those different passwords for those different accounts. But the other thing you can do as it relates to security, and it's our tip number 3, is enable multi-factor login authentication. This is known as MFA or two-factor authentication. And multi-factor authentication is available for most online accounts. It adds an extra step for logging in that only takes a few seconds, but it keeps your login secure even if a scammer knows your password. And really think of it visually as the deadbolt on your front door along with the normal doorknob lock. So it's that extra login step that you have for putting in your information. And how it works is you're sent a short code through a text, email, app, or physical token that you must enter when logging into your account. And you receive a new code every time you log in. So you'll have your password, and then you're going to have this code. And it's you know, it really is just a few extra seconds, but it is a whole pile of extra security.
What can you tell us about phishing attempts?
Well, recognize and report them is what we're asking people to do, but they are still the most common way that consumers gain access to your private information. And just a reminder, this is the phishing with the PH, and a scammer sends you a message pretending to be a trustworthy source and asks you for your information, usually passwords or personally identifiable information, hoping that you will just send it willingly because you've clicked on the link and fallen for whatever scam that they are putting before you. But most email and cell service providers have built-in report options for phishing and scams. Please use them. Report these phishing attempts and help save yourself and someone else from falling victim to these.
This day and age, we have so much information on our phones, including banking accounts and things like that. What's a good way to protect our digital privacy, Michelle?
Well, protecting your digital privacy is another one of those activities this month that we want to make sure people are doing. And the first step of three is secure your Wi-Fi. Your wireless network is the gateway to all the Wi-Fi-enabled devices in your home. So to protect your connected devices, replace the default Wi-Fi network password and router admin password with a strong password. Keep your router up to date by visiting the manufacturer's website to see that there isn't a newer version of the software available for download and see if you can set up auto updates for your router. But keep that Wi-Fi secure by having that password and only use it for your devices. Don't just hand it out to anybody who's visiting your household. And if you do, change the password if they're not somebody that you can, you know, really confidently trust.
What about locking up your phones and computers? I think most people do that, but that's kind of something you should always do, right?
Yeah, this is one of those tips that can be take another few extra seconds, but set your computer and phone to lock when you're not using them. Doing this in combination with having the device password protected prevents unauthorized access to your device if you step away from it or lose it. And losing a phone or laptop can be incredibly stressful, but it is even more stressful if it falls in the wrong hands and you have a password manager that has all your passwords, or you keep that personal information on your device, such as a credit card in your iPhone or your smartphone wallet there. So you want to be very cautious and be sure that your phone is set to lock when you're not using it.
Cloud storage, that's pretty important too, isn't it?
It is. And what this is really talking about is creating backup copies of your information. If your device is infected, stolen, hacked, lost, damaged, you know, whatever one it might be, you might lose most of the data on it unless you've backed it up. And you can back it up and should do so regularly, either manually or by setting it to auto backup. And two of the most popular backup methods are cloud storage, as you mentioned, or an external storage device that you may own and, you know, place in a secure location. But you have options there, and you just want to be sure that you are creating those backup copies of your information to protect that digital privacy.
On line, I think the computer kind of knows the trends and our likes and dislikes. And, you know, I'm on the other day. How do they know that I like to collect vinyl records? They're able to figure out our paths and most visited sites, aren't they?
They are. And that's because your data is collected and used. And, you know, there are legitimate companies that track your online activity for several reasons. Some of those are to save your preferences and information, like usernames and passwords, addresses, and items you leave in your shopping cart so they can send that reminder, don't forget to buy me. I've gotten plenty of those. But then there could be a way to show you your personalized content, like local weather, stories about topics you're interested in, and advertisements. And another legitimate reason is to gather data about how people use their website apps, like pages they visit, how long they spend on it, and types of devices they're using. And that goes to just researching and knowing about their customers. But there's several forms of online tracking that aren't as wonderful as others, because if that data falls into the wrong hands, like a scammer, they just have so much information about you. And so one of those is the cookies, those small pieces of data that attach to your web browser and can be accessed by websites you visit, and another is device fingerprinting, which uses your browser's unique configurations and settings to track your activity. And apps on your computer or phone often have their own tracking systems as well. But you can control some of that by clearing your cookies and looking at the security and privacy settings on your device so you aren't tracked and that data isn't being collected. But you have to counterbalance and weigh the unique features and conveniences that you are trading off for not being tracked, but at the same time, your data isn't being collected and stored by other companies and potentially scammers.
There are so many times you go on there, it's an interesting website, but they're collecting cookies. It's kind of a catch-22 sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And you need to decide what cookie setting you want to have on your devices, because how much data do you want a site that you're just browsing by versus one you're going to regularly and you maybe want them to remember something for your convenience versus a one-stop looky-loo at a website type situation. So really determine and control what you are handing over.
I was not aware that this happened, but I guess I shouldn't be surprised. Fake jury duty notices. What can you tell us about those, Michelle?
Yeah, this is a scam that is circulating and has for a while, but it goes through those peaks and valleys here. And we want to make sure everyone is aware, because missing jury duty can have real consequences. You could face a fine, be required to go to court, or even get arrested. And scammers take advantage of that. They try and get your money and your personal information because they try and throw you off kilter by saying that you've missed jury duty. And how this scam usually starts is with a phone call or an email from someone claiming to be a court official or someone from a law enforcement agency, and they say you've missed jury duty even though you never got a jury notice, which comes by mail, and now there's a warrant for your arrest. The only way to cancel the warrant is to pay a fine and confirm your identity by providing your personal information like a social security number and date of birth, which we always want you to keep confidential. If you refuse, they may threaten you with jail time, which is going to really make you nervous. And to make this scheme even seem more legitimate, the scammers also might give you a fake badge number and case number. So this is one where they throw a lot of different twists and turns at you to just throw you off kilter again so you don't have that rational thought process in place.
Most of the time, the courthouse obviously would have your personal information, right? They wouldn't be asking for it over the phone.
Right, exactly. And they're never going to ask for immediate payment over the phone. No government agency does that by phone. And only scammers insist that you can only pay with gift cards, payment apps, cryptocurrency, wire transfers. And they use these methods because it's very hard to get your money back if you pay, and they're very hard to trace. And again, just to repeat what you said, courts never ask for that sensitive personal information over the phone, like that social security number and date of birth. If they've issued you a notice in writing by mail, then they're not going to be asking you for that data by the phone. Each court follows up differently if you've actually missed jury duty. You will be contacted by the court if you've missed, and it varies by municipality, but they won't immediately go to jail, and you don't have to pay a fine immediately. There are other options that the court will go through with you.
When you look at things for those kind of scams and things like that, there are some pop-up warnings from time to time, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If we are talking about a tech support scam, trying to identify that it really is a scam because they want you to believe you have a serious problem with your computer, like a virus, they're going to send you either a phone call, a pop-up warning, or online ads and listings. And with the phone call, the scammer calls and pretends to be a computer technician from a well-known company, and they say they found a problem with your computer. They typically can fix it if you give them remote access, and they pretend to run diagnostic tests. But the pop-up warnings here, The tech support scammers try to trick you with this pop-up window that appears on your computer. Sometimes there's an alarm or a whistle with it. It looks like an error message from your operating system or antivirus software system. And they might use logos from trusted companies, so it's kind of hard to spot. But the message in the window